our youth week in and week out. Would you just give them a hand for their faithfulness working with youth? So they've been up here before, but I just decided I want to get a couple people that maybe went along on the youth trip last weekend to Accelerant and put them on the spotlight. And they both were so wholeheartedly reluctant. But I just asked them to share a little bit about what they saw at Accelerant. So y'all don't preach, okay? Do I need to hold the mic? Are you nervous? Okay, I'll hold the mic. All right, go ahead.
Okay, well, when Pastor Rick asked me to speak on like a personal testimony, I told him that really nothing happened to me specifically, but I could tell what I saw. And what I saw was a bunch of youth crying out to the Lord and worshiping and just tears streaming down their faces. And they were hungry for it. They were hungry and they were welcoming the Holy Spirit. And if I could say anything to them today, it would be to stay hungry.
Amen.
And to keep asking the Holy Spirit to come and welcome Him and invite Him.
Good job. Stay with me. Neely might want you here for support.
Well, I'll have to say that I survived my first chaperone youth trip. Praise the Lord, I'm back in one piece. No, we took along with Steve and Lisa and David and Leslie 13 amazing young people. We are a very blessed church, and I don't know if y'all realize to the extent that we're blessed. This was my first ever experience with something like this. It was amazing to me to see hundreds of thousands of youth raising their hands, worshiping the Lord, not just ours, but from across the Southeast. I mean, it was amazing. But I guess my challenge for our youth personally is just because the atmosphere has changed doesn't mean that God's not the same here that He was there. And I saw the outpouring of love that y'all have for each other as well as for the Lord there, and I know it can be here. So that's my challenge for you.
Amen. Give them a hand. Hallelujah. Well, I want to do one more thing real quick, and then we're going to receive the offering in just a moment. Just sit tight. I love what I'm hearing, and I saw that last night. We didn't have as many young people at the Winter Jam concert in the Georgia Dome, but I tell you, it was the same testimony, Neely. It was hundreds and thousands of youth with their hands lifted up. I don't remember how many people have given their life to Christ. I remember he said it was 150,000 people. Was that since it started or 20 years ago, or was that since, wasn't this year, was it? Or was it since it started? I don't remember. I don't remember the time frame, but I remember them saying that over documented, they have testimony of over 150,000 people who have given their lives to Christ in this Winter Jam concert. So it's just exciting. So thankful. Hey, and I just want to reiterate, the atmosphere is different, youth, but don't lose that fire. And whatever I can do as your pastor to pour fuel on that fire, that's my heart. It was kind of fun last night because I got to play the youth pastor card again. And I told him, I said, look, here's the deal. When I was a youth pastor, if we did a late night event on Saturday, you were at church on Sunday. I don't want any belly aching about, I'm tired. All right? So I think they're all here. I haven't taken roll, but I see most of their faces. Where's Jesse? Okay. All right. That's right. I did see Jesse. I see Claire. Okay. No, that's right. She was at my house. I'm just making sure we didn't leave her there. Which is entirely possible on a Sunday morning. Y'all know how that is. Hey, a couple weeks ago we had a membership class. I want to ask those families who were part of that membership class if they would just join me up here in the front. We want to say a quick blessing. I want to introduce you, Mountain Gap, to the new family members. Would you give them a hand as they're coming up? Praise God. We have the Irwins are coming up. Y'all just line up all the way across, if you will. Left to right there. You guys come on up. Thank the Lord. So we have, I'm just going to do them in groups, okay? We have the Dirtingers, and we have the Ericksons, and we have the Irwins. And all of these people have already been plugged in, and they're getting involved in different ways, being a part. And so, church, I want to ask you to do me a favor and stand up. I want to ask you to stretch your hands toward this group of people who are family. And I'm just so thankful. We had a good conversation in membership class, had some good questions. We've had some good follow-up questions and conversation. Thankful for their hearts. And just thankful that you guys are a part of Mountain Gap. We count it an honor. We really do. It's a blessing. You're a blessing to us in a lot of ways. And each of you have so many unique and different giftings that the Lord brings to be a partner, to be an owner, like I was talking about earlier, in Mountain Gap, and the vision that the Lord has put in us here and the assignment that we have. So, okay, I'll pray now. You got your hands out. Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for these young men and women, these boys and girls. Lord, we do count it a privilege and honor to say welcome to the family. Welcome to Mountain Gap Church. Lord, we pray for them right now. Lord, we pray first of all for families. That's what we have here. We have families. And Lord, we ask you, Lord, to build families. Families who are committed to the Word of God, who are good stewards of the gifts, the abilities that God puts into their lives, installs in them. Lord, we pray that their homes will be a place of rest, a place of sanctuary, a place of peace. We pray that their homes would, this was prayed for me many years ago by a friend, we just pray that the Holy Spirit would roam from room to room in their home and be present and be active and be evident and bring ministry and life into their homes, Lord. And Father, we count it an honor, Lord, and a privilege, but also we understand the responsibility. Lord, you've brought new family members to us, and so Lord, help us to be good stewards of that, and to love and to nurture, to encourage, to build up, to correct where needed, to exhort, to forgive, as family members do. That's what we do, Lord. We do that in our own homes, and Lord, we want to do that here with the new family members. And so, Lord, help us to do that. The people with the hands stretched out, Lord, we take that responsibility serious. Lord, we ask you to bless these family members. Lord, multiply. Multiply the giftings that you've put in them to advance your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Would you welcome one more time, church? Thank y'all. Hallelujah. You guys can be seated. Love you, bro. Bless you. Hallelujah. I want to ask our ushers if you guys would come on up and thank you for giving. Thank you for honoring the Lord with obedience. We're going to receive this morning's tithes and offerings. I do want to make you aware, we do have a benevolent need in the church. I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, and time got away from me last week, but I just want to bring it back to our attention. We do have a benevolent need in our congregation. In fact, I want to ask you, if you get to a place where you could just sing one verse, and then we're going to receive the offering in just a moment, because I'm just springing this on them about a benevolent need, so I want to give them a chance. If they want to respond accordingly, they can do so. So if you want to give to that need, anything that you give today, in fact, any loose offering will go to that need as well. And that's a little different than we normally do, but any loose offering that's undesignated tithe or whatever, or missionary. If you're giving to a missionary, go ahead and give to the missionary. They need that too, okay? So thank you for giving. Your giving makes things like Accelerant possible. It makes things like really just being in this building possible. And I'll talk more about the other building in just a moment. But let me pray over the offering, and then we're going to sing, and then in just a moment we'll receive. Father, thank you for these gifts, these tithes, Lord, that your people are bringing into your house. Thank you, Father, that you gave and you demonstrate to us that principle. Now, Father, use these tithes and these offerings, these gifts, to advance your kingdom, Lord, to meet the very real needs that we have within our body and within this community, Father. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Serve now. Go ahead and sing along. We know this song. Hallelujah. While they're wrapping up, let me just share a couple of announcements. First of all, I have a tall guy standing over here that serves as a reminder that I must dismiss kids' church. kids' church, would you guys stand right where you are? And if you're within arm's reach of one of these children, would you just lay your hands on their shoulder? If not, maybe just stretch your hands out. Father, thank you, Lord, for these children. Lord, we ask you, God, during this time that it would be special. Lord, that your Spirit would do a powerful work, Lord. Lord, thank you for Michael and Stephanie and others, Lord, who serve weekly. Thank you for their heart, Lord, to serve. Lord, put a special grace and anointing on their life to make a difference in these children's lives. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. You are dismissed. Give them a hand as they leave. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, let me make a few announcements. I touched on the building next door, and I just want to bring you up to date on where we are in that process. I did ask Mr. Ronald Adams right after it happened, just to serve as a kind of a lead person in getting that thing put back together. And he knows that building pretty well, I would say. And so he graciously accepted that assignment. And I thank you for that, sir. I appreciate your diligence and heart to serve and to get us back. We did have a little bit of a snag with insurance in getting the check to us and getting the check correctly to us. So that held us up a little bit. But we're back on track with that now. And I will let you know. We got a shaker. We got somebody over here. He's ready to. The drywall, I think, is complete or just about complete. And so that has been repaired. The carpet has been ordered. We're doing some booth expansion. next door, so we're adding a little bit of square footage to the booth area. I don't know if you know it or not, but the booth area, when it was initially built, this is awesome. When the booth was initially built, the booth, the soundboard was a little bit smaller than what we presently have, and actually, so we made a swap with the conference, and I think Mountain Gap got the better end of the deal probably, and which is good. And I was on both ends of that, so we have more capacity, but we also have a larger board. And I told the guys, I said, one of my things that I really would like us to be able to do is get the wireless receivers down and in profile. I kind of like things to be neat. You wouldn't know that all the time by looking at my desk, but. So we're making some booth expansions there. Painting, I suspect, will start pretty shortly. And just on that note of painting, we are going to freshen up the foyer area. We have some furnishings, I think, that have just been well-worn. And so we're looking at some new furnishings and some new colors in the foyer area and some changes there. Add a little bit more of functionality in terms of being able to sit and visit with folks. One of the things that we did during the encounter weekend was we brought four chairs out of my office and we put them in the foyer area, and I just heard a lot of really good comments about this looks good and I like to be able to sit and visit and stuff, so we want to do that. I can actually, I don't know that I've said this, but I could actually almost see that foyer area becoming a space or a place for a connect group if that wanted to happen, Tyler. I mean, once we're done with it, I think there's real possibility that it could be used for a connect group through the week. So that's just something that's out there, and it's some of my heart. So I wanted you to be aware of that. A few more announcements this week. There's a Bridge the Gap meeting on Tuesday, and then there's Local Church Administrative Council meeting on Thursday evening. One of the things I'm really excited about is about 5 weeks ago, I met a couple, and my heart really connected with them. I found out later on in some one-on-one dialogue with them that they were a part of the Brownsville Church. They are a part of the Brownsville Church, and they were a part of the church during the revival. So we immediately had some common ground. And when I mentioned Master's Commission, where Josh is, and Jeannie Mayo, they immediately knew all of that. That was common language for them. So they have in their heart an outreach event that they have been promoting I think for 2 or 3 years now, and it's called Reimagine. And so they've been doing this in Pensacola, and they've done it in Peru. Peru is also in their heart. And they are bringing that event to Thomaston, Georgia. And the date of that event is March the 15th, and the time will be from 10 to 3 p.m., 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. If you can imagine something along the lines, if you've been to the Relay for Life, the real festive kind of atmosphere, fun, you know, kind of imagine that. Maybe not quite. I've been to a Relay for Life. Patrice has been to a couple, and they were really huge. So maybe not to that scale, but a really large community event that engages the body of Christ across the lines and also engages civic organizations and businesses. And so just to kind of tell you what this looks like, from 10 to 3 on that day on March 15th, they're going to be doing basically just a fun community outreach time. They're going to have bouncies. They're going to have face painting. They're going to have coloring contests. Walmart is donating some bicycles. They're going to have free hot dogs. One church is gathering up a bunch of diapers, and they're going to take those packs of diapers and divvy them up into smaller packs and try to bless as many people as they can. They're going to have free food, hopefully a food giveaway. What is that? Free haircuts, which is really awesome. And so this is going to happen at the name of the place is what?
Park Lane Play Place.
Park Lane Play Place. And they're using their facility and parking, and I guess there's a big, I haven't actually been by there, but I kind of know the details of it. Well, Mountain Gap is on board with it. So, say, Reimagine Thomaston.
Reimagine Thomaston.
There you go. That's the name of it. Reimagine Thomaston. And as you know, my heart has been to be able to try to get us as a church into the three communities of Zebulun, Barnesville, and Thomaston. Well, I think we have good access now with Buggy Days and some involvement there. And now we have good access with Thomaston. I'm still praying about Zebulun and how we get it, how we make our imprint there. And this is just the beginning. Understand, we can't do everything all at once, right? Okay. So we want to be a part of Reimagine Thomaston. And Mountain Gap, here's how I need your help. Are you ready? We need 32 people to sign up and see Stacy today. In fact, she has a notepad here and she's ready to take names. We in our involvement, we need 32 people that can cut hair. Okay, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. That just like ruled out everybody. Can you love a kid? If you can love a kid, you can get involved. We are responsible for face painting and the coloring contest, and we want to have multiple stations set up where we can push have available to the kids the face painting and the coloring, and we're going to have, you know, a standard color sheet, and people can color that sheet, and then we'll judge those coloring sheets and give away the bikes. We've been charged with that. So, if you don't love kids, that's okay. I got one more area you can be involved in. It's okay. Some people don't love kids. It's fine. It really is. Just don't sign up for nursery, right? Can you pray? Because if you can pray, you can be involved. We need people who will pray. And here's what pray looks like, okay? Hey, how's it going? How's your day going?
It's going good.
Good. You mind if I pray for you?
Certainly.
Pretty easy, wasn't it? How's your day going? My name's Rick.
Hi, Rick.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Is it a good day or a bad day?
In between.
It's an in-between.
Yeah.
You mind if I pray for you?
Sure.
We can do that, right? It's pretty easy. How's your day going? It's not a good day. Can I pray for you? How's your day going? It's a great day. Good. Can I pray for you? It's pretty easy. So we just want to pray for people. There's going to be a worship team there. I think Rush Ministries, I believe, is providing staging and sound equipment and things of that nature. So it's a real big effort to bring the body of Christ together. Now understand, we don't get to promote necessarily Mountain Gap Church, but we get to build relationship with people. And that's what we want to do. And somewhere, on some level, the conversation will come to, where do you guys go to church? Where are you from? And you just tell them. Let me tell you how you tell them where Mountain Gap Church is. Where is Mountain Gap Church? It's on the corner of Vega and Pine Valley. And see, this is what I do. I don't start with Pine Valley because nobody knows where Pine Valley is. But most people know where Vega is, right? Scott, do most people in Thomaston, they know that's what I found. And so you just tell them we're on the corner of Vega and Pine Valley. You know where Vega Road is? Yeah, well, just go down there a couple miles, 2.5 miles or so. 2.7 if you want to be precise. So Stacy will be available right out here, and she needs 32 people. Now, why do we need 32 people just to face paint? Because we think it's probably going to take two shifts of people. We need a couple of people that can help set up. We need to take tables and chairs and the pop-up tents that we have. And if you have a pop-up tent, we need it. Okay? So we need to be there. I'm going to let Stacy figure out the time. It's probably going to be the time that she designates. I won't even say. And we need a couple of people to take down and bring those tables and chairs back. Okay? We will be in our sanctuary by then. I didn't answer that question. We hope to be in the sanctuary by the first Sunday in March. That's my goal. Is that a fair goal, Mr. Ronald? Think we can do that? Barring any ice storms, we can probably do that. So, you know, we need to get those tables and chairs back here. And then we need people just to paint faces. And that's a really easy thing to do. There are lots of videos where you can learn how to do that. Stacy's going to share some of that and have a meeting or two, a couple of meetings probably, with the people that sign up. So this is available for, you know, teenagers up. And we could use some preteens even, you know, to help be a runner or, you know, sit there with other kids and watch them color and just build friendships with them. You know, one of the neatest things that happened in Peru I was showing someone yesterday some pictures from Peru, and it was a picture of Alyssa and three Peruvian girls. They had no idea. They wanted their photo taken. And, of course, they understood very little of one another's language. But you know what they understood? They understood the language of play. Play is a common language, and they were able to play together and build relationship. So that is Reimagine Thomaston. I wanted to just share that. It's very important to me. Connect groups, there's information in your bulletin about that. Tyler, anything you need to add on connect groups? Nope. Okay, we're good. Turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 20, and then go with me to Exodus chapter 13. Acts 20, Exodus 13. I want to tell you, and I'm going to be real upfront with you, a lot of what I'm going to be teaching these next few weeks comes directly from a church called Gateway Church. We sing some of their songs. That Revelation song is one of them. A lot of what I'm going to be teaching and preaching is going to come almost directly from the book. And I'll just tell you, you know, well, Rick, you're not being very original. Did you really seek the Lord about this? I sought the Lord for a long time till I had peace that it was okay to do this because it's just that good and it's just that anointed. Now, if you want to go and buy the book, it's called The Blessed Life. In fact, you can find the TV program by the same name called The Blessed Life on your satellite or cable provider or whatever, and it's there. And so we're going to talk about The Blessed Life. In fact, one pastor I came across, well, I'll tell you, I have a pastor friend of mine in Athens. It was the church I served on staff at before. And they did this series in Pastor Mel, the senior pastor there. He did all of the messages except for the last one, I think. He actually just showed the video. He was like, this is just so good. I can't do any better than this. And so they received permission to just show the video. One pastor I came across, he said on his blog, he said, I will probably never do this again in ministry, but for the next several weeks, 4 or 6 weeks, I don't know how long, he said, I'm not going to preach. We're just going to show these videos because they're that good. And everything that needs to be said is said in these videos. So I'm going to be using this as a springboard. I'm going to include a lot of my own testimony and some things in it. But we're going to talk about a subject that makes a lot of us a little tense. So, you know, sometimes the best thing to do is just when there's tension, just to go ahead and just embrace it. All right? Tension can be a good thing, y'all. It really can. A rubber band is no good if there's no tension. Right? So we're going to talk about, I know we're in Acts 20 and Exodus 13. We'll get there in a minute. But we're going to talk about a subject that creates a little tension, and that tension is built around the subject of money. Now, when you say money, people get fearful. They get fearful. They worry. They tune you out. They chalk it up and say, well, there it goes. I knew all them preachers were about money. You know, there's no shortage of advice on money. I mean, listen to Dave Ramsey or like Dave Ramsey. I like Dave Ramsey. Financial Peace University. I like Dave because he embraces tension. You listen to his call-in show and there'll be a caller calling in. And he just, I was listening to it the other day. I was riding up to Atlanta. And it was so great. He's like, stop talking and listen to me. And he can be a little rude. But that's just Dave, and he gets by with it, and evidently he's doing pretty well with it. Of course, then you got Donald Trump. Lots of thought about money there. A lot of your rap artists sing about money. You got Lil Wayne and all those other guys. Preacher knew Lil Wayne? Google is an amazing device. That's how I know. Full transparency, I'll just tell you. Google, rap artist money. Look at a few lyrics. Okay, there you go. You have entire networks built around money. Fox Business. It's all about money. Don't tune into Fox Business and expect to see highlights from the Super Bowl. What you're going to find is how much money the Super Bowl made, or how much money the ad people paid. I came across this quote in my research, and it just resonated with my heart because I just see it. It's so true. And I can say it because it's a safe place for me to say it. My daughter and wife are serving in the nursery this morning. My son is serving at the church where he's a part and leaving for Germany in a few short hours. But this quote is so true, and most of you parents and grandparents will, you'll resonate with this. Money isn't everything, but it does keep you in touch with your children. Is that, can I get an amen from that? Come on now. It does keep you in touch with your children. Will Rogers said, and this is a great quote, "Too many people spend money they haven't earned to buy things they don't want, to impress people they don't like." Too many people spend too much money to buy things they don't want, to impress people they don't like, with money they haven't earned. But let me ask you a question. What does the Bible say about money? Because Lil Wayne is really not a voice of influence in my life. Donald Trump is not a voice of influence in my life. Dave Ramsey has some voice in my life, and we try to live according to a lot of his teachings. But ultimately, I need to know what this book says. And so for the next few weeks, we're going to talk about that tense subject of money and possessions. Did you know that there are somewhere around 500 verses on prayer in the Bible? 500 verses on prayer. Somewhere there's you know, 500 verses on faith. But there are over 2,000, I'm trying to find my numbers here, 2,000 verses on money and possessions. In fact, Jesus, in 16 of his 38 parables, they dealt with money or possessions. So it must be a really big deal. Finances must be a really big deal. Now, I'm not preaching on money because I'm a preacher. Okay? And I'm not preaching this series because we need it. I want to preach this series and go through these weeks because I believe that what I preach and teach will help you. I believe it will help you. And I just want to say from the outset, I'm not going to apologize. I'm not going to stand up here apologetically and say I'm preaching about money. There's something very disingenuous about that. Why would I apologize for something that can help you? Finances relate to every area of our life, folks. They relate to your marriage. Many, many couples, they're in tough spots because of finances. And, you know, it can revolve around finances. It may bring up and surface some other issues. It may surface communication. It may surface the past. It may surface childhood. It may surface wrong understanding of roles. I said this, and I didn't come out and say it as boldly as I need to probably, but I want to say it this morning. If you want a stronger marriage, begin to tithe and give. It sounds weird, doesn't it? I have a friend of mine who's a pastor, and he said one of the bishops told him early on in life, he said, if there's a church that's struggling, pay the preacher more. That sounds, what? It's struggling though. Why are we going to pay him more? Because you're sowing. That's a little bit of a side issue, but let me come back to what I just said. If you want to see your marriage blessed in a way that you've never imagined, begin to tithe and give. And maybe you're not married, and this tunes into you too. If you want to see your life blessed, here's the reason why. Because when we begin to tithe and give, we become unselfish. And when I'm unselfish, my marriage isn't about me. You see that? When I'm unselfish, my marriage is no longer about me. I'll say it at the end, but I'll say it now. We as a church tithe. We tithe. We tithe to our conference. The organization, the denominational office that I used to work for. Thank you, Mountain Gap, for tithing during those years. We still tithe. We tithe. Me and my family, we tithe. 10% of the gross. I don't say that to look good. I say that because I've been in those shoes where you struggle. Is it gross or net? I'll pull the Dave Ramsey phrase out, and he says, what do you want, a gross blessing or a net blessing? And we haven't always been there, y'all. I'm just going to be really honest with you. We have not always been there. There have been many years where it was net. Finances relate to your health. Stress. A lot of people have health issues because they don't handle finances correctly. Again, I just want to help you. I want to help us. I want to help us live the blessed life. Finances relate to your relationships. I've had family members come to me and you know, I could tell, or they didn't actually come out and ask, but I could just tell there's a financial need. Well, can you loan us $300 or $500? No, but I can give you $500 because I don't want to be your master and you be my slave. I don't do that to my family. I don't want to do that to my friends. I can give you $20 to get gas if that's what you need. I don't want to loan you $20. Take some of the blessing out of it anyways. It blesses you and it blesses me if I give it. Let's talk about that. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. We're going to just springboard off of this. Acts 20, verse 35. If you're there, say I'm there. All right. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said. And there, if you have a print Bible, you see red words in the end of, or in the middle of book of Acts. And you're like, what? And you see this phrase, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Some commentaries, they call this the forgotten beatitude because it's not explicitly referred to by Jesus in any of the Gospels, but it is implicitly found in many of his teachings. So you have this phrase, it is more blessed to give than receive. Just say that with me. It is more blessed to give than receive. Blessed means happy. Happy is. It means it is more. If you go back and read Matthew 5 and you're reading the Beatitudes, Jesus said, blessed is the man. In other words, happy is the man. And in this Beatitude, what he's saying is that giving is greater. By the way, the message is called The Principle of the First. And there's the verse. I had to, y'all. I thought I had it in different order. But I just had to throw a Duck Dynasty reference in there. Probably been a few weeks. So, Phil would say, happy, happy, happy. Happy is the man because he's more blessed if he gives than receives. And basically what Jesus is saying is that giving is greater than receiving. Which I don't know if you're alive in this world like I'm alive in this world, but that goes against everything this world tries to tell me. I'll go back to the Will Rogers quote. There are too many people spending too much money that they don't have to buy things that they don't like to impress people they don't like or something thereof. Because it's all about receiving. If I can just get this. I appreciated Ben's testimony just a few weeks or 2 weeks ago, maybe last week, I don't remember. He said, if I can just get this house and we can get settled in this house and then I'll be happy. And you get the house and it's nice and you love it and you got the family, and then you realize, wait a second, there's still this disconnect with my happiness. And so Jesus is teaching us here that that it's better for us, it is more blessed, we will be more happy, happy, happy if we give rather than receive. It's more blessed to give than receive. Let me give you a good textbook answer, okay? This is probably going to bore you, so it's only one sentence. So everybody say, hang on. That lets me know you're listening. Awesome. Here we go. This is a definition of happiness. The intrinsically good state. When you start off with intrinsically as the second word, I'm struggling already. But anyways, it says the intrinsically good state of life, regarded as supremely worth having. In other words, it's what we all want. What we want is happiness. And Jesus takes what we see in this world about receiving, if I can just get, if I can just get, if I can just get, and he flips that coin on its head and he says, no, it's not about getting, it's about giving. Here's a question for you. When are you most like God? When I'm praying. When I'm worshiping. When I'm serving. Well, I would say that in all of those things, you are like Christ. You're like God. You're close to God. But I want to submit to us this morning that we are most like God when we're giving. When is your spouse most like God? When they're giving. What's that? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. I like what Robert Morris teaches in the book. He says, you know, if to have a complete sentence, you have to have a subject and a verb, right? And if the subject of the Bible would be God, what would the verb be? Gave, give. God gave. He gave what? He gave his son. His son said, I'm going to send the Spirit. The fact is that God is the greatest, and we sang about it. I just love that last song we sang because it's exactly right. He is the greatest healer. He is the greatest lover. He is the greatest forgiver. He's the greatest father. And he's the greatest giver. 500 verses about prayer somewhere in ballpark. Somewhere in the ballpark of 500 on faith. Over 2,000 verses on money and possession. Here's the deal, church. How we handle our finances demonstrates to God who is first in our life. Today we're talking about the principle of the first. Let me bottom line it, since we're talking about finances and some of you are numbers people. We put it on the bottom line. You ready? God wants to be first in your life. That's it. God wants to be first in your life. And you, maybe I'm just going to go there. I was actually going to save this for next week, but I'm just going to skim it real quick. And maybe you say, well, Pastor Rick, that's you know, that tithe, that's Old Testament, that's law. Well, do not commit adultery. I mean, let's think about that for a second. If I walk up to my wife and I just say, you know, honey, I really want to have an affair, but the law says not to commit adultery. There's something wrong with that picture, isn't there? Yeah. Because it's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. That's where we're going with this. It's a heart issue. And the heart of the matter is that God wants to be first in our life. It's not good enough if Patrice, I just say, you know what? You're second in terms of marriage. No, she's first. She's absolutely first. More than anything else in your life, the money that God trusts you with has the power to demonstrate who or what is first. Let me give you three things. Flip it with me over to Exodus 13 if you're there. Three things concerning the principle of the first. Exodus 13, beginning with verse 1. I encourage you, go buy this book, order it. It's good. I've got pastor friends of mine that they're reading through it the third time now because it's just that good. Three things concerning the principle of the first. Exodus 13. Are you there? Say, I'm there. Verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, consecrate to me every firstborn male, the first offspring of every womb among the Israelites belongs to me, whether man or animal. So in other words, he's saying, consecrate to me the firstborn. In other words, what I want you to do is I want you to give that over to me as holy. 16 times in Scripture, God declares that the firstborn is His. God claims the ownership of it. Why? Because He wanted the Israelites to recognize that He gets the first. Now here's something else. He also gets the best. He doesn't get the leftover. We're going to get there in a minute. Look with me at verse 12. Skip down there to verse 12. You are to give over to the Lord the first offspring of every womb. All the firstborn males of your livestock belong to the Lord. I'm reading slowly because I don't want you to miss anything. Redeem with a lamb every firstborn donkey. But if you do not redeem it, break its neck. Redeem every firstborn among your sons. So the first principle that I want you to know is that the firstborn either must be sacrificed or redeemed. There's only two choices. You don't get any more than that. According to these scriptures, the firstborn is either sacrificed or he is redeemed. What this means is that from the very beginning, God institutes something that we need to be aware of, and that is this: order. There is order. Some of the things, for example, a lamb would be considered clean. So you would take the first lamb and you would kill it and sacrifice it to the Lord. However, a donkey is not clean. So when you have a firstborn, you would go and find a lamb and sacrifice that lamb that was spotless on behalf of the donkey. And what would that accomplish? It would accomplish the purposes of redemption. We understand that? So if you have clean animals, firstborn, sacrifice. Unclean animals must be redeemed. Your sons, it says, must be redeemed. Don't sacrifice them. Except for in the instance of Abraham. We're going to talk about him in a minute. But let's just stop right there and let me just preach the gospel for a second. Because what does this picture show us? What did John say when he saw Jesus approaching? He said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the earth. So in other words, the Lamb of God who was a spotless clean lamb would come for the purposes of cleansing and redeeming me and you from the sin that is evident in my life and your life. In other words, the sacrifice was the Son instead of my life. And because He redeemed and He paid the price, He made access for me and you to be clean. Even in this, you see the gospel. The gospel is there. Jesus was the firstborn. He was clean. Now here's the thing. God didn't wait to see how we would respond. The book of Romans, Paul tells us in chapter 5, verse 8, God demonstrates His own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, He didn't wait to see, well, I want to see how they respond, and then I might let my son die for them. No, He was God's firstborn, and because He was the firstborn, God was willing to send Him, and Jesus was willing to go to the cross. And He demonstrates His love for you and I like this. Regardless of whether you come to Him or not, I'm going to let my son die in your place. That's the gospel, folks. That's the good news. When I say gospel, I'm saying good news. That's exciting to me. So in other words, the firstborn son, Jesus, was sent, and God didn't know whether or not I would respond or not. And he didn't know if you would respond. But he loves us that way and that much. How many times do we wait to see if God, if we can trust God? We tithe. I'm going to get to tithing, and I'm going to talk a lot more about it next week. Today I'm just talking about the principle of the first. And I hope to answer some current concerns that you may hear or maybe you have, and that's okay. But we tithe in faith before we see if we'll have enough. And then God blesses it. It's not just the principle of the tithe. It's also the principle of the first that God blesses. We come to church on the first day of the week. We bring our gifts, our first fruits to the Lord. Which leads to the second point. The first fruits must be offered. Also in the book of Exodus, go over to chapter 23. Exodus 23. Verse 19. If you're there, Exodus 23:19, say I'm there. Awesome. One verse. The first. Everybody say the first. All right. The first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring into the house of the Lord. It doesn't say the last of your first fruits. It says the first of your first fruits. Question for you. Where do we bring it? House of the Lord. This is God's house for us as believers. We have gathered here. We have partnered. We have become members. We have said this is where God has planted us. I'm going to bring my first fruits into this house. I'm not saying this because we need it. Understand my heart here. I'm saying this because I want to help us. It doesn't say to give it to a TV ministry. Sorry, Heidi. It doesn't say give it to a missionary. But if you've pledged to support Heidi, you better do it. Please. Please do it. But let it be above and beyond. You don't have to turn there. I just want to read it. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10, it says. Actually, you may want to turn. Go ahead and turn. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. This is one of those verses. It is good to underline or draw a circle around or highlight it in some way. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Understand this is an agriculturally based society that they live in. So farming and crops is part of the language that you're going to hear in these two verses. Honor the Lord with your first, with your possessions, and with the first fruits of all of your increase, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. The increase is the portion that they work for, okay? If you're raising livestock and you've got, 12 head of cattle, and then next year you've got 15. In this society, all right, I don't want to be called to anybody's chicken killing or cow killing. All right, understand my heart here. But in Old Testament society, you would bring that, the lambs. You bring those. So it's a picture of the principle of giving first to God. And if I give first to God, then what's the outcome? What can I expect if I do this? My barns will be filled and the vats will overflow with new wine. See, when I honor God with the principle of the first, God says, I can bless that because he sacrificed something. I think there's just some really, and I've already touched on it, there's some really good things that happen when we do that. It kills the selfish desires that we have in this life. I want to hang on to it. It's my money. It's not your money. It's God's. Think about this. When they left Egypt, they went into Israel. What was the first city they took? Jericho. What did the Lord say in Joshua chapter 6, I think it's verse 19? He said, everything made from silver Gold, bronze, or iron is sacred to the Lord and must be brought into His treasury. How much of it? Everything. The first city that they're going to take, everything belongs to the Lord. But then what happens in Joshua chapter 7 with Achan? He gets a little selfish, doesn't he? He decides, well, I want to hang on to a little bit of this gold and silver. I kind of like this. And Achan sins. You know what? In Joshua, I keep wanting to say Judges, but it's Joshua chapter 6. God is basically saying, if you'll bring this, then I'll bless it. If you'll consecrate it to the Lord, bring it into the house of the Lord, then it's blessed. But in Joshua chapter 7, because of Achan's sins, you know what we see? It's cursed. So there is something to the bringing of it. There's something to the order of it. Let's go back to Genesis. Adam, Eve, Cain, and Abel. Chapter 4, verse 3. It says, in the course of time. Everybody say, the course of time. That sounds like a good biblical phrase. We're going to find out it's really not that good. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord, but Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. But on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor in the course of time. In other words, Cain waited until he had accumulated some stuff. Well, let me give some stuff and then I'll see what I can bring. Uh-oh. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits, but Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. See, it's not about giving one out of every ten. It's about giving the first out of every ten. Verse 4, Abel gave fat portions of the firstborn. In other words, he didn't wait until he had accumulated some stuff. He went ahead and brought it. God rejected Cain's offerings, but he accepted Abel's. Why? Because it was about the order. Final point is this. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 31. One or two more verses. 2 Chronicles 31 verse 5. It says this. As soon as the commandment was circulated, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruits of grain and wine, oil and honey, and all the produce of the field. And they brought in abundantly the tithe of everything. Malachi chapter 3 verse 10 says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Do you realize that the tithe cannot be given? We don't give our tithes. We bring them. It sounds like, well, Rick, you're just playing with words there. No, there's something with the heart there too. See, we don't collect the tithes. If anybody ever stands up here in my place, don't ever say we're going to collect our tithes and offerings at this time. Because we're not a collections agency. Hallelujah. We receive what you bring. My tithe goes to the denomination. That's what I have to do because they are my storehouse. My accountability is with my bishop and with those men who serve as elders in my life. My wife's tithe, all of it comes into this house. We bring it at the first of every month. We bring the tithe because the tithe must be first. The tithe must be first. Let's get real practical here. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. 10 $1 bills. How much of this is the tithe? $1. All right. Which one is the tithe? Okay. The first one. Is that the first one on your left or your right? And it has nothing to do with politics. Which one is it? Is the one on top out here? Let me show you which one's first. It's the first one I spend or I give. I ain't getting it back. That's what she just said. It's all good. But let me borrow it back just for a moment because I need to finish up my illustration. I'll give it back to you in a minute. See, if I live my life in such a way as, well, I got to pay the rent or the mortgage, got to pay the utility, got to buy the food. Oh wait, I got teenagers. Got to pay the car payment, and then there's that doctor's bill left. Oh, well, we were going to do something for vacation. I need to tuck away a little something. But all I have left is one. Well, I better give to the church because that's what I need to do. Is that wrong? I want to ask you just to examine your heart and ask the other question, is it right? Because I waited to see what was left before I responded in obedience. Now imagine if we go back to Romans for a second. God so loved us that he gave his son to us and he demonstrated his love for us by sending his son first. He didn't wait to see what our response would be. He went ahead and gave. And it's in the giving that the blessing rests. It's in bringing my tithe into the storehouse, saying, Lord, I don't see how, but I trust you. I really could call this sermon the principle of the first, or perhaps a better title, and I don't have a slide for it, would be the principle of faith. Because, see, there's something that happens when first and faith are joined together. There's blessing released. I have found, speaking from personal experience, I have found, here's my tithe, I'm going to leave it here at the storehouse. I have found that my life goes a lot better living off that 90 that's blessed than that 100 that's cursed. I know it doesn't make it, look, if you're an economics professor, we won't see eye to eye on this other than if you have faith in Christ. It doesn't make sense in the mathematical sense of the word, but in the faith sense of the walk, it makes perfect sense. Let me say that again. It doesn't make sense in the mathematical sense of the word, but in the faith sense of the walk, it makes perfect sense. Because God is able in his awesomeness. He's greater. Our God is greater. We sang it this morning, y'all. Perfect song. God is greater. He is able to take that 90 and say, let me bless now. Because my son understands the principle of the first. Now, understand. Don't get legalistic on me here. All right? If your wife goes to Walmart and you just got paid, and the first check off that paycheck is to Walmart, don't go crazy. And don't lose your faith. Just examine your heart. And just in the way that you can, and I'm not really trying to give anybody a permission slip. I'm not saying don't do this, but I'm saying don't get legalistic about it. And if in the faith sense of the word, if you know, the check to Walmart clears before the check to the church or your storehouse, if you're not a part of Mountain Gap, don't freak out on me. And don't freak out on your wife either. Okay. Check the heart. Check the heart. Say, okay, Lord, we just, at the first of this week, we're going to give. We have to do that, y'all. Okay, Rick and Patrice has to do that. One of the first checks, when she gets, mine is actually, I'll just, full transparency, mine is actually sent along with the tithes of the church. It comes right off of my check, my income that I receive as your pastor. So it's automatically sent. Okay, I know it's the first. It has no choice but be the first because of the way it's done. So that's how it works for my behalf. But for mine and Patrice's behalf, one of the first checks that we write or she writes is the church check to Mountain Gap. It has to be. Because if we wait until the end of the road to see what's left, there won't be enough left. It won't work. It don't work. That's good grammar right there. Isn't it, Jennifer? The first has the power to bless the rest. Don't turn there, but let me read this. Romans 11:16 says, if the part of the dough offered as first fruits is holy, then the whole batch is holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. It takes faith to begin to tithe. I'm telling you, it takes faith. It does. Here's the deal. God will take your 90% and he will make it last longer and make you more blessed, and he will invite you into the blessed life than if you try to live off the 100. I'll give you a statistic. In 1998, the body of Christ, I wish I had more recent numbers, but this is the closest I could find. In 1998, the body of Christ, the church, earned $15.2 trillion. Somebody ought to just go, wow! Anybody? This is your chance. I did. I was like, wow, that's a lot of money. Do you know how much was given to the church and the missions agencies or missionaries? $270 billion. This is worldwide. You know what that equals? 1.8%. Oh, well, Pastor Rick, it's got to be all those poor countries. It must bring that number down because we're blessed here in America. We're wealthy. Okay, let's talk about America. 1998, $5.2 trillion was earned by the church. That's a third of the total earnings. Suddenly move the mountain is not that hard. I didn't think about that while I was prepping this, but you know what? Suddenly move the mountain is not that hard. Total given to the church in 1998 was $92 billion. To help you understand, that's 1.7%. See, it's not that God needs the money. It's just that we need to be obedient. Mountain Gap doesn't need the money. I say that with full integrity. We don't need the money. We need you to be obedient. I've said it since I was a youth pastor. It was just a revelation the Holy Spirit downloaded. I was trying to take a group of kids to Washington, D.C. in 1993 or 5. I can't remember. And I was doing everything I could to raise money to pay for overpriced hotel rooms in Washington, D.C. for about 13 or 14 kids. I was struggling. Anybody want to sponsor a room for one night? We'll get twin beds. You want to sponsor a bed? We're about to take our own beds, y'all. And the Holy Spirit just downloaded to me in that season of trying to raise those funds and said, it's not that the church has money problems. And that was before I ever heard these statistics because it predates this. It's not that the church has money problems. It's that the church has idea problems. We think about money the wrong way. Here, think about it. Tithing and the principle of the first is a biblical principle that is an issue of faith. It's an issue of faith. So let me, Miss Karen, can you come up? Where's she at? Johnny, can you play piano? It's all good. Tyler's up. He's in motion. It's always good to have a second stringer on the bench, right? Don't take that in the wrong sense of the word, brother. So how do we respond to what you're saying and teaching us, Pastor Rick? Where do I start? Can I just help us? And again, I make no apologies. We don't need your money. We need all of us to be obedient. It's not an issue of money. It's an issue of obedience. And on many levels, it's an issue of faith. So where do I start, Pastor Rick? Well, let me suggest that you start with the tithe. Start with the tithe. Let me read a little bit of scripture for you, and I'll just unpack it shortly. It says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. Test me. I feel like God's like, are you up for the challenge? A little one-on-one basketball with God? Test me. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. And see. I'm looking to see, y'all. I'm expecting. And see if I will not throw open the floodgates. That's awesome. Of heaven and pour out so much blessing. The blessed life. I'll pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. Test me and see. And if you will test me and see, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to throw open the gates of heaven. The floodgates are going to come flinging open. And there's going to be such an abundance of blessing that you're not going to be able to contain it. I am praying. Brother, just give me a high five. I need somebody to high five me right here. I am praying for the day when we have so much finances. Did I just unplug you? No. That it's like, what ministry do we give it to this month? What missionary do we help this month? What, Rick, are you serious? Yeah, I'm serious. I trust God and His Word. That there is a blessed life that He wants us to walk in. And I know this. I know, I'm going to speak prophetically. There is a spirit of prophecy over, or not prophecy. There's not that. Poverty, however, there is over Thomaston and Upson and Pike County. And I see it. Do y'all see that? There is a poverty mentality and spirit that just hovers. And I'm telling you, Mountain Gap, we're here on assignment to break that thing. Hallelujah. Thank you for the high five. Start with the tithe and see what God will do. Trust Him at His Word and see what He'll do. First plus faith will release a blessing. Think about Abraham for a second. I told you we were going to talk about him for a second. Think about Abraham. He didn't wait to see how many sons he had. God said, I want you to take Isaac. He said, okay, Lord, here I go. It's an issue of faith. And for him, it was the issue of faith and the first. He was willing to sacrifice them. Test God. Have faith that He'll do what He says He'll do. Because if He does it, the vats are going to overflow. The barns are going to be filled. Now I want to go back to Exodus 13. Go back there with me in your scriptures. Exodus 13. We're going to do something next week. Did I unplug your monitor? Okay, sorry. We're going to do something next week, and I don't logistically know how we're going to do it, but we're going to do it. We're going to write our tithe check. If you have already done so for the month, that's okay. In fact, for the next few weeks, we'll just make this happen. We give our tithe once a month because that's how my wife receives payment. Income. Let me read the scripture and then I'll tell you what we're going to do. Exodus 13. verses 12 and 13. Watch this. You are to give over to the Lord the first offspring of every womb. We read this. All the firstborn males of your livestock, they belong to the Lord. Verse 13. Redeem with a lamb. Redeem. Everybody say redeem. Now say thank you for the lamb. Hallelujah. Every firstborn donkey. But if you do not redeem it, break its neck. Redeem every firstborn among your sons. Now let's continue on. Two more verses. In days to come. Everybody say, watch out. In days to come, when your son asks you, what does this mean? What does this mean? This sacrifice and redeem. What is this business about? You say to him with a mighty hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. With a mighty hand, that's what my God did for me. He brought us out of Egypt and he brought us out of slavery. And when Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed the firstborn of both people and animals in Egypt. That's what my God does. Yes, he is greater. And then you say this. This is why I sacrifice to the Lord. The first male offspring of every womb, and redeem each of my firstborn sons. Now, this is an Old Testament, but let me give you the New Testament picture of what that looks like. I want to ask you moms and dads, on Saturday nights, go ahead and prepare your tithe. I want to ask you to do this. Prepare your tithe as a family. Bring the family together around the dining room table or whatever and get the checkbook out. We've always kept that stuff private. There ain't nothing private about this. I want to ask you to write the check in the presence of your children. And if you don't want to do this, that's fine. But I'm asking you to do it because here's what I see that can happen. Write it in the presence of your children. Pray over it. And talk about how the Lord brought you out of slavery. See, Alyssa, this is why we do this. Mom got paid this month. Here's the check for X number of dollars. The reason why we do this is because we believe. Those are powerful words. Now just stop it. Think about it. Not we go to Mountain Gap Church. There's no power in that. But there's power in saying we believe. Thank you, sister. We believe in the principle of the first and in the principle of the tithe. Because at one point in your life or in our lives, mom and dad and us, we were in slavery. And we were in sin and we were in bondage. And we know what our God did to bring us out. Hey, you know what I just taught you? I helped you understand that discipleship and stewardship hold hands. They're not separate. They go together. Because in doing that, you're demonstrating to your sons exactly what Exodus 13, 14, and 15 says there. When your son asks you, what does this mean? Well, let me tell you what it means. We believe. We believe that God can do this same thing. In fact, we believe and we trust him so much that he's promised. Yes. Somebody just needs to go, yes. Fist pump. Yes. We trust him so much that he says our barns are going to be filled. Our vats are going to overflow. He's going to fling open the floodgates. We're going to live in such a blessed life that there's going to be more that we can handle with. Now, are you talking about a new jet ski, Rick? By faith? I want to be, but I can't. Being honest with you. No, I'm talking about living the blessed life. Let me go back to it. Happy. Blessed. More blessed to give than receive. It's more blessed to give than receive. I'll be more happy if I give than receive. See, the blessing isn't in the receiving. The blessing is in the giving. I'll be happier. That intrinsically, remember this boring definition? That intrinsically state that everybody wants. That's the Rick boiled down version. Let me go back to it because it was that boring and I need to repeat it. There it is. The intrinsically good state of life regarded as supremely worth having. Happy. I'll be blessed. The blessing is not in the getting. The blessing is in the giving. That's the blessed life. Stand with me together. We're going to pray. I don't know if you heard the intention of my voice, but when we received the offering this morning, I said something to you that I want you to hear my heart again, and I want to repeat it. And in fact, I was so purposeful that I put it in my notes. It's just one word. Because I wanted to be sure I said this word. And that word is thanks. Thank you for responding with obedience to the Lord. Again, I'm not preaching this series because we need the money. And I'm not preaching this series because I'm a preacher and that's what they're supposed to do. I really have in my heart that to move through these passages of Scripture in these weeks ahead, to help us understand that what the Word of God says about this subject brings life to us. There's health. There's freedom in it. There's a grace in it. There's blessing in it. I ask you to bow your heads. And just for a moment, I won't linger and I won't wait too long. But although this subject has, this message this morning has talked about finances, I still presented to all of us in this room the good news. And the good news is that there was a Lamb who was sent to earth, and His name was Jesus, is Jesus. And that Lamb has the power to redeem the things that are unclean. And all of us in this room either are or have been the unclean. And if you're in this room and you would say to me, Rick, I need to commit my life to Christ, or I need to recommit my life to Christ, I want to ask just a couple of folks, Johnny and Karen, David and Leslie, would y'all come down on each side? I want to ask you, if you're in this room and you would say, Rick, my life is unclean or it has been unclean, and I need the Lamb to redeem my life. I need the Lamb that has already paid the price to become personal in my life. And if that's you, I want to ask you, I want to invite you actually to come up here. And both of these couples that are standing here want to pray with you and will pray with you. And they'll introduce you to this Lamb of God in a very personal way, where He becomes your Lord and your Savior. And if that's you, I'm not going to put you on the spot, but here's the deal. You got to respond. And I can't make you and I won't pressure you. And secondly, here's the flip side, and this is going to be a two-part invitation. If this has been an area of struggle in your life, let me tell you this. I have a great deal of confidence in both of these couples and their ability to keep things confidential. And so maybe there's an area of struggle that finances has caused in your life. It may just be the tithe. You may just say, Rick, I haven't tithed, or I've stopped tithing. And I just want somebody to agree with me in prayer. These couples will pray with you. They will agree with you in prayer. But maybe you would say to me, Rick, the issue of finances is not necessarily the tithe, but the issue of finances has caused struggle for me and my family, me and my wife, me and my son, me and my daughter, me and my husband, me and my kids who have grown up and moved out, but they're still tethered. And it's causing a struggle. These these couples will pray with you. So I'm going to pray in just a moment. Can you get to a place where you can sing? And then after we pray, Tyler is going to begin to sing. And if you need prayer this morning, and this is going to be our benediction prayer, but if you need prayer this morning, I want to invite you to come down. If you don't need prayer, then you're released. Go with blessing, but go quietly so that folks that are praying can receive ministry, okay? And don't forget to stop by and see Stacy and sign up for Reimagine Thomaston, okay? Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that your scriptures teach us so much about money and possessions and for a good reason. And so, Lord, help us to be good stewards of those scriptures and help us to walk in the truth of them, Lord. And, Lord, in return, Lord, we just have an expectation that we're going to walk in the blessed life. That, God, you have blessing for us. And, Lord, we're going to respond in obedience. Father, I pray that you move upon anyone's heart that's here today that says, Jesus is far from me or I'm far from Jesus. Lord, I ask you by the power of your Spirit to move on that life and bring them close to you, God. This is the day of salvation for them. This is the day where the spotless Lamb of God redeems their life of ugly and sin and makes them beautiful in your sight again. So, Father, move by your Spirit and do that thing. In the name of Jesus, we pray. God bless you. Amen and amen. If you need prayer, come on down. If you need prayer for any area of your life, if you need to commit your life to Christ, come on down. There's no one like you. Anyone else, you need prayer. Hallelujah. If you're still here, I just want to ask you to hold it down a little bit.
Stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer.
Hallelujah.
Awesome in power, our God.
He's our God.
Our God.
Thank you, Father.
Our God is greater. Our God is strong.